morning. Welcome to Cross Life Church, and also welcome to those who are joining us online. It's great to be able to celebrate Easter with you all this weekend. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church. I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Josh just read for us. It is Good Friday today, and Good Friday is the day that we remember and we celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross for us. And today's sermon is on the topic of worth dying for. Jesus said that he has died for us. What does that say about how much we're worth to him? We're going to explore that a little bit more as we look at Romans chapter 5. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word. So please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather in your presence this Good Friday. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you that he humbled himself to death on a cross for us so long ago. And thank you for the opportunity that we have in this country to remember that. We pray that from your word we may understand more and more of what you have done for us, so that we may know how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We were just discussing how much is a human life worth? It's often seen as a very deep philosophical question. Is there a sacredness to human life? Is it ever ethical to trade lives? In our little discussion group, we're talking about trading players in the NBA and in soccer. But also, who has the right to decide the value of a human life? This can be a really, really deep question that people ask. But for some, it's not so deep. In Australia, the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet released a document last year stating that they value a statistical human life at $5.1 million. That is what they use for cost-benefit analysis of their policies when they have to be absolutely realistic about when people are going to die. But beyond the statistics, is that what you feel like? Now, do you feel like you are worth $5.1 million? How much do you feel that you are worth? If you have a job, you kind of know how much you're worth to your employer. You have a numerical measure of that. It is called a salary. But what about to others? If you were kidnapped, what ransom would people pay to get you back? I asked my family this question. If I was kidnapped, what would they pay to get me back? I'm not going to reveal who said what, and please don't ask them to respect their privacy. But one of them answered $10,000. One of them answered $20, and when I tried to push them to $21, they said, okay, $21. One said they would pay all my books and games to get me back. I'll leave it to you to decide who belongs to which value, but that is how much I am worth to my family. But perhaps your answer to this question might not be so casual, or it might not be so amusing. Maybe you wonder to yourself, if I died, would people even care? Would people even notice if I were gone? How many people would actually go to my funeral? And I think we can all feel that at times as well. You know, some more than others, but we all occasionally, I think, go to those deep, dark places. Good Friday is a reminder of how much we are worth to God and to Jesus, his Son. And if you take nothing else away from today, I hope you remember that you are valued so much by God and so much by Jesus that you are worth dying for. That's what we see in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, the passage that Josh had just read for us. Let me read it to you again just to solidify it in our minds. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You can figure out how much something is worth to someone by how much they're prepared to pay for it. And we also know that something that is worth very little to you might be worth the world to someone else. You know, you might not see the value in rare Pokemon cards or designer clothing or the latest phone or NFTs. In the case of NFTs, you might not even understand them. I certainly don't. But there is someone out there who does see value in these things, don't they? You know, they are prepared to pay the price for them. And that's exactly like Jesus and us. You see, people in this world might not value us that highly, and we might not even value ourselves that highly. But Romans 5 shows us the value that Jesus feels for us on Good Friday. It says here that he died for us. It says it twice, just to make sure that we've got it. That's how much we are worth to Jesus. We are worth his life. And so Jesus' message to us is, you are not worthless. Your life is not pointless. You are loved and valued by no one less than Jesus Christ, the King of the universe himself. And he has shown how much you are worth to him by dying for you. That's what we're reminded of on Good Friday. How much is a human life worth? How much is your life worth? Well, to Jesus, your life is worth his. To Jesus, you are worth dying for. But if we just ended the talk there, we actually wouldn't be doing full justice to God's word. It's not the full story to say that we are worth dying for. Because there's actually a strange paradox kind of operating in Romans chapter 5. You see, we've just seen that to Jesus we are worth dying for, but at the same time, from this passage, we also see that we are not worth dying for. And that's another thread that is running through this passage as well, because look at how Romans 5 describes us. And this is all of us, by the way. This is all of humanity, not just the bad guys. What does it say we're like? Verse 6, it says, we are weak. We are ungodly. Verse 8, it describes us as sinners. And we might not often think of ourselves like that, but it's important for us to know that the Bible has a very, very different idea from us of what makes a sinner. Being a sinner in the Bible doesn't mean that everything that we do and think is 100% bad all the time. What it means is that nothing we ever do is 100% good. If I have a glass of water and I add a tablespoon of arsenic to it, it doesn't make the whole glass arsenic. But that little tablespoon does poison the entire glass. And if I gave you that glass and asked you to drink it, you would reject it because you wouldn't think to yourself, oh, it's 95% water, that's totally fine. And that's actually like us and God. That little illustration, by the way, has completely stuffed up my Google search history. I think someone at Google now knows how much that I want to know how much arsenic you would need to kill someone. But it's kind of similar with us and God. Everything that we do has been tainted, poisoned by us ignoring God, by us not wanting to play by his rules. We don't instinctively do any of those things. And that attitude is what the Bible calls sin. And that sin has poisoned us. It's poisoned everything that we do so that we are not pleasing to God. We are rejected by him. And so in a way, Good Friday also reminds us that we are not worth dying for, because that's what verse 7 says right in the middle of our passage. It says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. People often ask the question in this passage, what's the difference between a righteous person and a good person? What is it about being good that makes you slightly better than being righteous, makes it slightly more likely that someone is going to die for you? The best commentary that I've read on this passage says that a righteous person is a person who does everything right, but they're a bit stuffy about it. They're a bit unapproachable. They're a bit distant from people. They're a bit hard to relate to. You kind of think like the Jedi Council in Star Wars or the elves in The Lord of the Rings. They're good, but they're very distant. Whereas a good person combines that do the right thing attitude with an agreeableness, a friendliness. They're not just pure, but they're also likable. When I think about that, I think to myself, comic book Superman, because he's good, but he's also good with people. Kids love him. Grown-ups admire him. He's kind of got that down-to-earth country boy background. He's not just righteous. He's also good. But this passage is saying, look, people like this, righteous people, good people, you can understand why you might die for these guys. Those people are the kind of people who are worth dying for. But those are hypothetical people. The Bible says no one is like that. No one is righteous, not even one. We are not like that. We are on the other end of that spectrum. We are poisoned. We are tainted. because we don't acknowledge God as much as we should. We don't give thanks to God as much as we should. We don't talk to God as much as we should. We are not good, and we're not even righteous. We are tainted by sin. And so in one sense, we are not worth dying for at the same time as we are worth dying for. And so how do we make sense of that? How can God communicate to us in almost the same breath that we are worth dying for and also not worth dying for at the same time? I think the answer lies in the one word in this passage that we haven't paid enough attention to, and that is the word love. See, verse 8, it says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, love is what bridges the gap between not worth dying for and worth dying for. Love can take the unworthy and call them worthy. Because when you love someone, truly love someone, you don't think of questions like whether someone is worthy of your love or not, or whether someone deserves something from you, or whether they merit something from you. Love needs no other reason than love to do good for someone else. And in fact, if you have a reason to love someone, it kind of diminishes love, doesn't it? You know, if you give someone a good thing because they are good, well, that's not love. That's just people getting what they deserve. And I think it's why for someone who truly loves someone else, it feels weird when people ask them, so why do you love them? You know, or what do you see in them that kind of moves you to love? You know, it makes no sense because those things don't factor into love. Love is pure choice. As the writer G.K. Chesterton says, we admire things with reasons, but we love them without reasons. And that is the love of God that he shows to us on Good Friday. God's love says to us, you might not be worth it, but you are worth it to me. For reasons that are entirely his own, God loves us. And the fact that we are undeserving of God's love, the fact that we are not worth dying for, that just makes God's love even greater. Because we are not entitled to God's love for us. God just chooses to love us. And we are not worthy of Jesus. We do not deserve Jesus. But Jesus, in his love for us, still values us to the point of death. Jesus dies for our sins and takes the punishment up for us so we can be right with God. And so we are not worth dying for. But we are, because Jesus in his love has died for us. And this message of Good Friday, this message that we are valuable to God despite our sin, this message that we are loved by God and that love came at the cost of Jesus' life, this message, I think, needs to be heard by our world more than ever. Because more and more in our world, we are treated as simple commodities. We are only valued because of what we can produce, our utility to others. We're valued as employees. We're valued as customers. But rarely are we valued as people. We live in a world where people's value is measured by their salary, by their ATAR, by their social media following, by social credit scores, by the cost of the clothing that they wear. People are valued by all sorts of other things as well. You know, this is a world of merit, of honor, of entitlement. And if you don't believe that, just think of the people who don't have the things that I just mentioned, people with disabilities, the elderly, people who are just different. How much less does our world value them? See, in that kind of world, rarely in such a world are we truly loved. But Good Friday reminds us that we are loved by God. We are valued by God, even to the point of death, regardless of achievement, regardless of merit, simply because of God's pure, uncomplicated love for us. And so if you're a person who feels worthless in the eyes of the world, God wants to reassure you on Good Friday that you are not. Not in God's eyes. to God, you are worth dying for. You are loved. And that is something that can help you when you go thinking in those deep, dark places and you wonder whether anyone cares. God does. But I think maybe the people who also need to hear this are the people who don't feel worthless. The people who feel like they are worth something. The people who have very high scores on our world's valuation scales. Because if you're one of those, then God wants to say to you on Good Friday, no matter how much the world thinks you are worth, God thinks you are worth even more. Because people might pay you. People might honor you. People might give all these little indications that you are worth something. But none of that compares to the God of the universe giving his life for you. So do not settle for how much you are worth in this world. God loves you more than anyone else does, and he loves you more than anyone else could. How much is a human life worth? How much is your life worth? Everything to Jesus. Because of Jesus, you, me, and the world, we are all worth dying for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as Romans chapter 5 says, your love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which you have given us. And thank you that we can see this in the good news of Jesus on the cross for us that we celebrate on Good Friday. Thank you that while we were still weak, while we were ungodly, while we were sinners, your son Jesus died for us. Thank you that he made that statement about how much we are worth to you. Lord, we pray that when we feel unworthy, when we feel maybe like sinners, or maybe when we feel ashamed in the eyes of the world, we don't feel like we're worth anything. We pray that we may remember the cross of Jesus Christ and remember that you love us and remember that to you we are worth dying for. Lord, we also pray that as the world gives us all these little indications of our value to the world, all these accolades, we pray that we may also remember that we are worth so much more to you. And Lord, we pray that we may be encouraged by that, that we may be loved by you and not settle for the things that the world gives us. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.